Was that the first time, Sophie, you've been to Ukraine?
It's true. It's my first time that I've been in Kiev.
But not yours.
No, I was born there. And I moved to the States in 1997 to attend the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia. But I do projects in Ukraine regularly, I would say twice a year. And it gives me an opportunity to visit my family, but also to show where I am musically and make a contribution to the Ukrainian musical life.
And the National Symphony is celebrating its 100th year, and that's why they're doing this tour, which is going to bring them to stores. What was it like performing with them, really on that occasion in Kiev?
I'm a big fan of my colleague, Grammy-winning composer, Kenneth Fuchs, and I fell in love with his piece, American Rhapsody, a few years ago. Had an opportunity to perform it here in stores. And then I thought, well, I want people in Ukraine to hear the American Rhapsody. And I reached out to the best orchestra in Ukraine, which is the National Symphony. So I talked to the manager and to the main conductor, Volodymyr Sirenko, who is coming to conduct at the Jorgensen Center, and they got very excited. And then we decided to look for other Rhapsody-like pieces. And when Professor Shao joined UConn faculty, we performed together Saint-Saëns, La Muse, and La Poète. And I thought, well, I want them to hear how wonderful she is. So then Sophie agreed to fly to Ukraine and perform and make an album with me. And Sophie, how was it for you to play with the National Symphony?
It was really wonderful. They're a really wonderful orchestra. And what's interesting is that I never studied in Russia, but I realized after speaking with them, and they were saying, oh, your playing is such Russian style. And I realized my main teacher when I was at Curtis was also Russian himself. And I definitely picked up on that tradition. And Rostropovich was my idol, and I played for him. And so I am steeped in the Russian tradition, even though I'm Taiwanese.
This orchestra is historic. To a certain extent, for most people, it's one of the longest-serving national symphonies, as near as I can tell from their information. And Shostakovich and
Prokofiev
premiered their works. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's an honor when you premiere such a prestigious composer's work.
I'm not surprised because Prokofiev was born in Ukraine before he moved to Russia, to Moscow. So he's from eastern Ukraine, Mariupol. That would make perfect sense that the Ukrainian orchestra would premiere his pieces.
Now, you did two outdoor concerts in Kiev, but there was a little bit of a hitch with the weather.
Yes.
So what happened?
So the first day we had a glorious weather and I performed Kent's American Rhapsody along with the Ukrainian composition by Kos Anatolsky. The piece is called Poem. And also I played a French composer, Chausson, and British, Juan Williams, Lark Ascending. And I have to say, everyone loved Kent's work. You should have seen people's faces and they were mesmerized. And I told them to imagine American beautiful landscape, the beauty of American nature. And I think they did while listening to the music. The next day, Sophie and I were supposed to play Brahms Double Concerto, which we will be performing at the Jorgensen Center. And we were supposed to play Brahms Double and Saint-Saëns, La Muse, and La Poète. Came to rehearse and it was raining, so we waited, and apparently they promised thunderstorms, so the manager of the orchestra decided to call it off. So Sophie and I went back to the hotel. Then I kept getting phone calls that people are showing up to the concert and that we have a pretty good audience. So I asked Sophie, would you mind if we go back to the park and play something for people? And being Sophie and being a great sport as she is, she said, of course, we have to go and play. So what did we play, Sophie?
We had some hitches. I played some Bach. Solomia played some Bach, but while we were trying to find the music for the Handel Halvorsen, I realized I had downloaded at the place we were staying a violin and viola part. And so,
and you play the cello.
And I play the cello.
So we had to transpose. You
know, right, which is written in alto clef, and I needed a cello part. So then when I notified Solomia on the stage that this had happened and we had the wrong parts, she went and played some Bach. And we ferociously looked for the music. And so I read it off of her brother's
iPhone.
iPhone. Which was getting texts from his wife and his mom at
True.
The same time.
My mother was calling, and she was like, oh, that's why he wouldn't pick up. Like, yes, because Sophie was reading.
I had to decline a call from his wife. I felt very bad.
This is an example of improvisation. It wasn't a jazz group, but an improv classical duo.
And although officially concert was canceled, we still performed for them. So they were very grateful.
But a different program.
Yes.
And Ken's been sitting here listening to this and reacting. You have the what I think is a rare situation where you, as a composer who is now has a Grammy on your mantle and has been heralded as a composer for several years now and performing with the London Symphony Orchestra, doing your work, and two world-class musicians on the faculty, among others. What is it like knowing you have colleagues like this that you can use as sounding boards and who are performing your music?
When I write music, my goal as a composer, if I'm writing a violin concerto or a work for cello, I want the music to be as idiomatic as possible, that it fit the instrument like a glove. And it is so wonderful to have such superb friends, faculty colleagues and friends, whom I can go to with any question. Could you play this for me so I can hear what it sounds like? Does this fit the instrument? Is it too technical or not? And I'm very grateful for that. They're wonderful, wonderful colleagues.
We talked about this a bit earlier before we started recording. Working with the power of a full orchestra versus a string quartet or just an accompanist on piano or another violinist or cellist or violist is completely different when you're rehearsing and what you anticipate. So for you as performers, how do you approach rehearsal and performance when you are with the intimacy of a quartet, or then what's the difference with a full orchestra?
I will add one more variable, which is the hall. Every hall is very different to play in. And the thing is, you can't be aware of it all. You will never be, you know, on the other side of the hall when you're actually playing. So we learn just kind of issues of like how little you can play, how much you can play, and how to bring out what you believe needs to be heard. And so you work within that context. And so, yeah, playing with a chamber music group, actually a lot of the players are play more than in an orchestra, because an orchestra is used to working together as a full ensemble. And so they have colorations that can actually be more subtle and nuanced and not as clear, whereas chamber music is one to a part. Generally, you can't get so quiet that your part isn't very heard, whereas in orchestra, blend is very important for them. So strangely, I sometimes have to play a lot more in chamber music. More often. In orchestra, yeah, it's
as
great
as an orchestra member, that's what you mean, when you're an orchestra member, not as a soloist, right?
No, actually, as a soloist, an orchestra can play quite quietly because they have that capacity to go quiet to loud. Wind playing actually is much more than string playing. So it's all these variables that you kind of work out on the spot.
If I may add, sorry, but I just wanted to make sure that it's clear that, yeah, that when we perform chamber music, it's like having a conversation with a few people and someone interrupts, like I just did, because someone has something important, few notes to say and wants to be heard. But when you solo with the orchestra, you have this sound behind you, and I feel like I have to stay still, which is very hard for me, and feel very grounded and try to present my ideas very strongly. When in chamber music, I'm a little bit more flexible because there are lots of people who work with me and I need to work with them. But when you play solo with the orchestra, you kind of have to show that you're the soloist and the people behind you are very nice, but they're there to work with you.
Another element that's different is the conductor. So in a soloist in an orchestra, you can play and have the conductor show where you are. Whereas in chamber music, everybody does it by ear. So that is kind of asking different things of different people. But yes, Olumiya sounds beautiful with the Ukrainian orchestra
because
they work together so much.
This program was put together initially because you were going to do American Rhapsody and you wanted to have other rhapsodies in there. And there are a couple of other compositions which have Rhapsody in the title, but Lark Ascending also for the Vaughan Williams composition. If you listen to American Rhapsody and you listen to Lark Ascending, you hear the contrast of what you were just saying, where there's doubling of the violin with the orchestra, and then the orchestra goes down, and then it's just the violin on a solo for several minutes before the orchestra comes back. So it is a conversation in that sense that you can actually hear it. We're all talking together, then I'm going to go back, and then I take over, and then the orchestra comes up, and the violin goes down, and then they come back, and they switch again. So it's the back and forth of the discussion musically.
I'm so glad Solomi is playing Lark Ascending. Actually, it's one of my very favorite pieces from my high school days. It's just an extraordinary piece. I'm very honored that my work is on a program with that. And also, I want to say that Solomia's tone, her musicianship, is so absolutely perfect for American Rhapsody. It's just the quality of the sound and just the intensity of your tone is just so perfect for that
thank
piece. I'm
you.
So thrilled that you're playing it and have recorded it. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for introducing me to the piece. I truly love it, and I guess it shows when I perform it. Thank
beautiful.
You.
Thank
and
you.
We should note that the composer, Vaughan Williams, we have a scholar of Vaughan Williams sitting
yes,
on campus, too.
Yes, Alan Frogley. This is where I was going to. You beat me to it. Speaking about our wonderful faculty at the University of Connecticut.
I've known him for several years. I spoke with him at the art exhibit opening just last week. And this is his specialty, and he's written a couple of books about him, and he studied him. So whenever I see Vaughan Williams on a program, I know that we have some guidance here on campus.
And Alan is helping me with the liner notes for the booklet. So I'm very grateful for that. And speaking about other UConn faculty, Louis Hanslick, we should bring him up. Our trumpet professor who is an award-winning musician. And
one of the trumpeters of the American Brass Quintet, also on the faculty at Juilliard. The music faculty at UConn is so extraordinary, each and every one of them in their own way. Are so remarkable, wonderful researchers, and incredible soloists like Sophie and Solomia. So it's a good time to be here.
And Greg August with his affiliation in New York with the Afro-Cuban band.
Absolutely. Right. Yes, I was going to bring Greg because he's one of mine, strings. And also Eric Rice, he got an award for his work with the Collegium. We are just really fortunate that we are small, but we do a lot of good work on campus.
For the performance here in Storrs, will there be anything different that you're adding because of the performance here, or is it going to be pretty much the performance that was originally scheduled for Kiev?
We'll perform the American Rhapsody, but then the orchestra will play symphony because they want to showcase their abilities. We will be there to rehearse with them on the day of the performance, and it's very exciting.
I was going to ask about that as well, because rehearsal is important, but there's always not enough time to get everything covered in that period of time. I know with certain forms of music, you can just walk in and everybody knows the basics and you can figure it out and go. But that's not the way it works when you're with a full orchestra and you have your responsibilities with your instruments. What is the process that you have to think through when you walk into that rehearsal for the morning, and then by the evening you're on stage
with 90 people behind you, and hopefully even more than 90 in front of you in the audience. Well, preparation is the key, and Sophie and I will get together again to rehearse. But I also trust the conductor very much, that Volodymyr Sirenko, and I trust the orchestra because we rehearsed with them and they are professionals. So I know it will be a great performance. And funny enough, this is going to be a whole week for Sophie and I soloing, because a day before that, on Thursday, November 21st, Sophie and I will be playing Beethoven Triple with Yukon Symphony and Andre Raphael conducting, and Melvin Chen, Deputy Dean at Yale, will join us on piano. Oh, so Thursday we are doing Beethoven Triple. Friday we are performing with the National Symphony of Ukraine, American Rhapsody, and Brahms Double. So it's going to be a good week.
Yeah. These are the hardest working women in showbiz.
Love it.